She thought she was always the one who was the problem in the relationship. If she only did better, then it would be better. Did you ever feel that way too? Then she turned to the bullying, blaming, and shaming onto herself. Until after much self-discovery, she created a vision for a kind man she wanted to be with and found him. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today we meet Julie Riesler. She gets vulnerable on how observing her parents' dynamic when she was young put her on a self-destructive path of overeating. She then set herself up for being a meek and muted person in her first marriage. She then dove deep to discover her true self and the love of her life. We're going to talk with Julie in a moment. And first, today's 11 pillars. There are 11 pillars to take you from vulnerable to valuable. In every episode, I share my insights into one of the 11 freedom fulfillment pillars. This is the path I followed after escaping a 25-year narcissistic and abusive relationship. Within a few short years, I became an international award-winning entrepreneur, best-selling co-author and speaker, and now experience daily joy with the love of my life. It took me years, so I can now shorten that path for you. Be sure to check out episode 1 or 2, where I identify all the 11 freedom fulfillment pillars. These two can be your path to a new empowered you, to reclaim your voice and value, and to be ready to receive love and kindness so that you can create the productive, prosperous, and joyful life you desire. Today, I pull from pillar number 1 to discuss having a vision to direct your future. You'll hear later how our guest laid out her vision to create the life she has now. Creating a vision for your future. The first thing I want to share is your past does not define your future. Your past does not define your future. This is what you know, and this is what many of you base your future on. But I can't, and I was in this bad relationship, and this happened to me, and I'm broken, and I'm unlovable, and I can't create this life that I want. It's impossible. All these negative thoughts ruminate in your mind and you believe them. I'm here to tell you they're not true. They're not true. And one of the first steps to start to shift that thinking is to create a vision for your future. Because when you do, it gives you a hope that you can strive for. It gives you a hope that you can strive for, even if it doesn't even look possible. How can this be? I was in this relationship for 25 years. I lived overseas and I had to engineer an international escape to get out. But I remember early on, I knew I was going to get out. I didn't know when, and I don't want to discourage anybody if you're not out that you can't get out. You always can. And I will go into the whys I didn't get out earlier in a different podcast. But I always had some vision. And then during the planning stages of my escape, my vision was crystal clear, but so simple. I just said to myself every day, my daughter and I deserve a happy and joyful life. I don't have to be a martyr. I have one life to live and I'm going to live it. That was my vision that kept me going. For me to be able to just feel that freedom. No, it's mine. No, I have this life and I'm going to live it. So create that vision for yourself, because that vision is going to allow you to create that joyful life that you deserve. And you can take mine. If you don't have anything, take it. It's all yours. You too can say, I deserve a joyful life. Yes, I deserve a joyful life. And don't worry about the how. Don't worry about it seems so far-fetched. That will come later. First, you got to start with a vision and just keep going after it and going after it and thinking about it and writing it down. Write it down. Record it. Say it out loud. Say it to yourself. Practice it. Get a real feel for it, right? And the more you do, the more you're going to embody it. You know, think about a life where you're treated with kindness, respect, and thoughtfulness. That sounds pretty juicy, right? And you can say, oh, well, but Rosie, I've never was treated with kindness, respect, and thoughtfulness. Well, there you go. That's a reason to be, to expect to be treated. You're lovable the way you are. You are whole the way you are. You're not broken. You may feel broken. There's a difference between feeling broken and actually being broken. You're not broken. You deserve to create a life that you want, and you can. You can find real love that's kind. So many of my guests have found that kind love. I have found the kind love. And I too never thought it was possible. I wasn't even interested in the beginning of looking at another man. I didn't want to hear a man. I didn't want to see a man. It was like, I couldn't go there. But I deserve a happy and joyful life without even knowing the details of what that meant. That was my guiding light. And when I say I live that life now, it's almost unbelievable. That's like, oh my gosh, I do. I feel joy. I feel joy. Now, does it mean that my day is, and every single day of my life is happy-go-lucky and everything is all roses and cherries and everything else? Of course not, because that's not the human experience. But if I were to describe my life, yeah, I have a joyful life. And I'm creating that. I'm creating that. So today, all I want you to do is just create a vision for yourself. Just create something. Take mine, add to it, add yours. Maybe you like to draw. You can paint it. You can create a vision board. What's important is that you really feel it. Something that makes your heart beat, you know, skip a beat of joy. And don't worry if you can't grasp it right now. It's okay. Take it in time. Just take a little step here. Maybe have a notebook devoted to your vision, and you can keep expanding upon it and getting it colors, more descriptions. What do you look like? What are you doing? Where are you? Who are you with? What colors are around you? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear? Just feel it. Feel it. See it. Taste it. Hear it. All those little pieces put together. And maybe there'll be one of those pieces that grow bigger for you. Maybe you like sounds and you'll just say, oh, I can hear his voice. I can hear the sound of his voice, and it just makes me feel so safe. And I hear him saying to me, I support you. I believe in you. Wow. That's pretty magical. I believe in you. So create that vision for your future. And it doesn't have to be, it's not static. Don't worry about, oh my gosh, I have to change it. I wouldn't change it too much, except to expand it and modify it. And don't make it in such a big leap that it's not really believable. Like if you're not making any money and you say, oh, I'm going to make me a billionaire, it's too far of a leap to start thinking about that. And so the body is not going to be able to know how to reach for those solutions. I mean, to say, I'm going to 10 times my income, whatever that is. You see, that's more feasible. Maybe not put limits. Maybe you'll make $2 billion. So why say one? You don't know yet. When we talk about the love of your life, talking about kind love, feel, how does he make you feel? How do you feel? How do you want to feel? And maybe you're going to have to tap into some new feelings that you haven't experienced before or not for a long time. So that's the challenge for today. Okay. Looking into your vision, creating the vision that will give you that hope to keep going after. I call it the good hope. Keep going after your good hope. You can do it. If you want to know where you are on this path, take the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz, my gift to you. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are and where you want to be. Go to www.freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. You can find this link and all other links mentioned in the show notes. So Julie Riesler is an intuitive coach, best-selling author, multi-time TEDx speaker, and host of the Youest You podcast. She works with and coaches big-hearted, high-achiever soul seekers. She's all about helping you tune into your intuition to be your Youest You. She is the author of the Get a PhD in You book series and a mindfulness teacher on the popular app Insight Timer with over 115,000 downloads. She is currently working on her third book. Julie has a master's degree in health and wellness coaching, more than 12 certifications in mindset, mindfulness, and well-being, and is on the faculty at Georgetown University and their coaching program. What a delight to have such an inspiring, amazing woman today. Julie will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to reach and impact 100 million women worldwide who have been affected by narcissistic relationships and domestic abuse. Our goal is to create kinder intimate relationships, kinder families, kinder communities, and a kinder world. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to the dynamic Julie Riesler, who, when she learned to listen to herself, she finally discovered her true self and created a fabulous life. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Julie. Welcome, Julie. I am so glad you're joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here.
I want to just share with my listener a little bit more about you before we get into it, because you have an impressive background. So Julie Riesler is an intuitive coach, best-selling author, multi-time TEDx speaker, and host of the Youest You podcast. She works with and coaches big-hearted, high-achiever soul seekers. She's all about helping you tune into your intuition to be your Youest You. She is the author of the Get a PhD in You book series and a mindfulness teacher on the popular app Insight Timer with over 115,000 downloads. She is currently working on her third book. Julie has a master's degree in health and wellness coaching, more than 12 certifications in mindset, mindfulness, and well-being, and is on the faculty at Georgetown University and their coaching program. What a delight to have such an inspiring, amazing woman today.
Thank you so much. I am so looking forward to diving in today with you.
So before we get into sort of the nitty-gritty of what led you here, just share, where are you now and what are you doing? We read a little bit of your background, but I want to hear some more.
Yeah. And I say this because it's, I'm going to share where I am now and I'm glad we're going to also look before that. I think it's important to share what has happened to be able to get to this point today. I'm very, very grateful. I have had my own business for a little bit over 6 years. I get to really help people to tune into their heart intelligence, their inner wisdom. That is something that has saved and changed my life. I pushed it down for many years and didn't listen to it. I feel grateful to be fully self-expressed. I am remarried to a wonderful, just loving, kind, very empathic man who just gets me. And I feel very blessed to have that. And, I've learned so much. I feel like I've done 20 lives in this one life. But today, self-love, caring for myself, nourishing my body, healing my body, taking care of myself is the most important thing I can do, Rosie. And that is a huge shift from where I came from.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And we'll get into that some more too, because it is just so important. But so what was a little bit more of your upbringing and then led into your marriage, and how was that?
Yeah. I mean, let me just say, I have two very loving parents. And from the outside, if you were looking in, and I think this is what can be very deceptive and challenging, especially if you're struggling. My dad, who struggled with PTSD, was totally undiagnosed. He's a Vietnam veteran, ADHD, bipolar, low self-worth. I can't comprehend what he went through. The way that I grew up and how this translated, I was put sort of on that pedestal to a degree. It wasn't in an inappropriate way, my dad with me, but my mom, who I always felt like they were brother and sister, and my mom, who has high anxiety, this just made for like oil and vinegar. And so my dad, I grew up with my dad really being pretty mean to my mom, bullying her.
Your mother?
Yeah, bullying her, being mean. And the sad part is I didn't know any different. And of course, my sister and I just kind of got onto the bandwagon. I think took out a lot of his angst and anger on her. And I grew up seeing that. So I had no idea that that was part of the pattern. Remember, I grew up with a lot of love and support. My parents were very loving to me. And I figured I have love, like, great. I struggled a lot with overeating as well. I think as a sensitive empath, for some who are listening, you might resonate, but I tend to feel energy and people's feelings very, very deeply. And I could sense my dad couldn't stand my mom and was angry with himself. And I just, to block that, I did a lot of turning inward on myself, and I used and abused food for years. And I'm talking eating out of the trash, binging, stealing food from friends, wherever I could get it. And that's what I did.
It's interesting how when we don't understand and we can't express it, how we manage it. I mean, it was a coping skill. It wasn't a healthy coping skill, but it was a coping skill. And that was all you were able to do at the time.
Right. That's what I knew. I've done a lot of work. Years and years, like it's probably close to 18 years. Cause I know when I first started to really address this, it actually, in some ways, I had to really, really learn to forgive and just love up on myself. I mean, I did the best I could. And, it could have, my sister chose alcohol and drugs in addition to food. She's recovering alcoholic today, but there's a lot of ways to express. That was what I did. And it was the best that I knew how to do. But that's what I saw. I remember seeing other families and parents and just thinking like, I really wish that's what I had. And so I remember I would spend time with family, friends that had families that were very solid units, and searching, seeking, wanting that. I can feel it makes me sad thinking about it. It was really hard to watch my dad go through that and then take it out on my mom. And my mom, a lot of fighting, a lot of crying, and just then being, my dad put so much attention to me. So I felt like, frankly, on a different level, my happiness, my doing well in life was keeping him alive. And something, Rosie, he has actually talked about that. He went through about a depression. This is like 80s, 90s. And before it was as commonplace. I mean, I really think there's some truth to that. I think he could have easily opted out of life. And so there was a lot going on there.
Yeah, and that's a lot for a child to bear. And then you got into, because I want to go into self-forgiveness in a little bit, but just to continue, then this is what you observed. That's just what it is. That's the life you knew. Although you knew it was not quite right, but couldn't really express it, you went to friend's house and to get some kind of a foundation there, some sense of strength of their relationships. Though then you met somebody who turned out to be what?
Well, I would say so fascinating. I met my first husband in college, and here's what I'd say. He's a good person. And I was looking for stability. I was looking for security. I was looking for, that's what I was looking for at that time. My parents had started to, they split when I was in my 20s. We had started dating when I was, I guess, 18, 19. He came from a very traditional family where there's a lot of right and wrong, black and white. Mm. And I just, as an empath, I could see, you know, what people would say, like, wow, he's really arrogant. And I would say, well, you know, I just was like, well, he means well, right? Like, I just kept, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but to kind
of excuse making, I call that the excuse making that we fall into. I get it.
And I have to say this, I took the imprint I had, you know, he's remarried today in a great marriage, it works. But with me, I think I came in used to this bullying type of relationship, and it just fell right into that pattern where I was like the, you know, I just assumed like, I don't know as much as he does. He's smarter. So when he, you know, he's very assured of himself, he's confident, I would say arrogant might be used. And in that dynamic created this cycle of feeling like, honestly, I didn't feel like I had a voice. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I always said, I felt like he was the CEO, CMO, CFO. And I was like secretary, which knowing me now is absurd because that is not my personality. I deferred to him. I just assumed he knew better. He, you know, a lot of times it was like, you know, it felt like always the issue was me.
Yes.
The issue was
me. The issue was you.
You know, it's funny even saying it, like, I really believed that because I saw that in my parents, and it's, I can see now there were things to work on, but I can see that's not the case. But in it, you know, if you had told me this early on, I would have said like, no, I really have a lot to work on. He doesn't. He grew up with a great family, one of five. Like, they're great. I'm the one who's the problem. Right. That was my family dynamic. So I just, I repurposed it.
Well, I get it because, you know, my ex-husband too, he just kept telling me how awful I was in whatever the subject matter was. And when you hear it for so much, then you start to believe it. And then you just, and that's why you kind of lose yourself, right? It's the beginning of really losing yourself and losing your voice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I, as a recovering people pleaser, I wrote about getting a PhD in you. It could have been like a PhD in people pleasing. This was like my survival tactic.
Right.
I also kind of figured out the social construct, the way they operated, and, you know, very close family. We lived like a mile from his parents and did things every week. I mean, it was a lot for me. And I think I just figured out a way to fit in and be really well liked. And so in doing that, I really submerged myself, my voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the real you is fighting to come out.
Oh yeah.
I know we figuratively lose our voice because we can't express what we want, but did you have any other health issues impacting you?
Well, look, from years of abusing food and overeating sugar, I don't think that helped anything. I was so good at people pleasing. I mean, I was kind of fooling myself, and I actually woke up in the middle of the night. I thought I was having a heart attack. Thank goodness it wasn't. It was a panic attack, but it was so extreme. I literally couldn't breathe. I thought I was dying. I had two kids under the age of two, and I woke up and I heard my inner voice say, "You are not okay here. You are not okay here."
Wow.
And I just remember sitting up, it was a full moon, and it literally felt like the moon was speaking through this inner voice. This is why I do a lot with people around their inner voice, because I started to finally hear it. And when I decided, it took a lot of courage, honestly, to listen to that, because again, there was no horrendous, grievance or issue going on, but it was not working at all. Like I was doing all this work on myself, realizing this is not the right place for me. I don't fit this anymore. I also had different aspirations and wanted to speak my voice. And we did some counseling, and then finally I had another intuition that I was literally not going to be alive in 5 years if I did not move and leave. And I trusted that. We got separated literally like 2 or 3 weeks later. The joke is I was at a Target in Florida with a friend, and I all I know is I passed out and I woke up to like these very attractive EMT men, and I was thinking, What is happening? And I'm like in my mid 30s, like I was very healthy for the most part. I just started teaching fitness. Like it didn't make sense. And come to find out, my thyroid, which by the way regulates everything, your metabolism, your hormones, like it all, it had completely stopped working, underactive. I mean, I was very lucky. Had that kept going, I would have had major, major issues. But I still have this underactive Hashimoto's thyroid disease today. I'm still on medicine. This is, you know, 9 years later, but it, you know, and immediately when I found out, what came to me was that, you know, your throat, your thyroid is right here. And I thought, wow, that is so representative of not having a voice. That made sense. I'm like, yep, it's shut down because I shut it down for years.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that powerful story, because I think a lot of women are suffering maybe other health issues and they're not putting it together. I think, you know, the abuse or how you're treated is not being put together with the physical part. And, you know, if you are constantly, you know, being blamed and we can't use our voice and nothing, it's like a pressure cooker that's building up, and it's like, and if it can't go anywhere, it can't be expressed, it's going to like pop out of your body somewhere. Yeah. And that's been my experience. I mean, personally, and talking to other women.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah. I believe I've heard this before. I've done a little work with Dr. Joe Dispenza. He talks about, you know, your issues live in your tissues. And
I believe
that. So I do a lot around body scanning, body wisdom. I do a clearing every day. I check, tune in. Our bodies hold so much information and wisdom. And I really think it saved my life, honestly, getting out of that. And even though many people were like, what are you thinking? You know, I actually had someone say like, he's so good looking. You guys are like good looking together. And I'm like, that has freaking nothing to do with anything. Like, let me tell you something. I don't make my decisions based on that. And that doesn't mean it's a good fit at all.
We'll find out some of Julie's key success strategies. And first, I found that many women have a hard time asking for what they want, and they have an even harder time knowing what to ask for. That's why I created a guidebook, How to Confidently Ask for What You Want, and it's yours free. Simply go to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com/gift. Start your collection of gifts, as I will be offering different ones throughout this podcast. Get your copy now. It's been a major life changer for many of my clients who've learned to ask for what's important to them, including asking for the sale. And we're back with Julie Riesler, author of The USU and founder of the School of Sacredology. We have to listen to our inner self, our real truth, because we know the real truth. We know what's going on behind the closed doors.
Yeah.
So what was you touched upon a little bit earlier about your path to self-forgiveness and everything else. Can you just share maybe some of the tips that you did to get there?
Yeah, it's I want to say one of the things I started to realize is I took a lot of what I saw and then I inverted it, meaning I started to really be nasty and bullying of myself. I spent a lot of time doing that.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And that actually has been one of the more challenging ones to change, because again, we're with ourselves all the time. We have all these reoccurring thoughts and things that we say to ourselves. The gift was, I said earlier, you know, struggling with food addiction. I had a pivotal moment. I was still married. I really, again, thinking it was all me, I'd heard about a support group, and thank goodness it was in May. I mean, I remember this May early evening, and I was like eating M&Ms out of control. And it was like, do I drive into the tree or do I go to a meeting?
Wow.
God, I got myself to a support group. And I think for me, you know, having other people that were sharing similarly of not just about food, because it's just not about food. It's also about what we're talking about. I started to let go of shame. I just slowly, like an iceberg that melts slowly, I started to melt and really get unlovable, like lovable just because I'm here, not for any reason, not because of any outside factor, because of my body or how I look or what I've done. It doesn't, none of that matters. Like, and I started to really connect to who I am, to my heart. And that process, you know, I worked with a lot of coaches and sponsors and therapists and did a ton. I mean, this is 18 years ago now.
Yeah.
I think for me, one of the most powerful pieces or tools was I would say I got really into Louise Hay. This was actually when I was younger as well. And she has a whole practice. I wrote about it in my book and kind of tweaked it, but a mirror practice where you really look in the mirror. Now it's not, oh, I just love you, you're great. Because if you don't feel that, your body, you know, it resonates as that's not true. And you don't want to lie to yourself, but there are things you can say that you can appreciate that will feel true. Like, I'm really grateful for my eyes. I've had them since I was born, or my heart, or, you know, whatever it is. I love that I'm a kind person. And I just started building this relationship with myself. And it's been a game changer. And I thought, I got to help people. Like, I feel like I got out of jail. And so that's a big one. That's a huge one. Getting quiet, still meditating. That took years in my master's degree, I had to learn how to do it. I had to write a dissertation on it. And I remember that the professor was like, you are one of the most challenging students. Like, you do not sit still. I'm like, no, I don't sit still. I was running mm-hmm. away from myself. Mm-hmm. So coming home to yourself, learning to be still, even if it's 5 minutes a day, that is, it's changed my whole nervous system, my brain patterning. Many others, but those have really, and then support, finding people that, that have my back, that are loving, that are high vibrational, that are kind, that are, you know, that could just hold that space. For me, I've gratefully kind of created a team of people that are there for me. Amazing people that I lean on, you know, women and some men too.
Well, thank you for sharing all of those different strategies, because some of them are going to resonate with our listener and with me. Yeah. You know, that, you know, we'll take on some of them I'm already doing. I go, yeah, I didn't think about that. Or just as a reminder. And that's what this whole thing is, because I think between the two of us, we know that this is a journey, and our goal is to help make this journey easier and hopefully shorter for the next woman.
Yes,
yeah. At least that's my goal as well. So did you have, when you were like in it or after it, you know, this kind of a vision of what you wanted to have in your life, or was it clear to kind of get muddled and it got sharper as it went on? I mean, like how you got with your sweetie.
That's interesting. It's a great question. I when I started doing this deep journey in myself and recovery work, I remember one of the books that was really pivotal for me was Julia Cameron's Artist's Way. And this was like 18 years ago, and has you go really into like what lit you up as a kid, what gets you excited. And I started to realize, oh my gosh, I used to do a lot of, my mom's an opera singer, music teacher, did a lot of on camera and stage and theater. And I was like, oh, I love that. I love being self-expressed like that. And I got into an improv class and an on camera class. And the next thing I know, this was while I was working full time, I started doing commercials and hosting and acting. And that was like, and dancing. I grew up dancing, took a hiatus because thought I was too heavy to do it. That's a whole other story, but took that up again. And started to kind of find that what brought me joy, that just sort of opened me. And it's very interesting. I had made a list, and I remember just making a list, like if I hypothetically, like if I could have just found someone that was really a good fit, like what is it that I'm really looking for? And I made this list, and I remember it was like kindness, empathy, EQ, like I don't think I said EQ, but so like big heart, like just things that were really confident, quiet, like just things that I was like, I want that.
Get my list.
Yeah, right. I know, right? I think we have the same list, right? What is crazy is I was really not looking. We met through work. I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, you are like almost the list. Like that is crazy cool. The thing is truly, Rosie, what it said to me was, because I do believe the state that how we feel about ourselves is going to reflect the nature of our relationship. So I thought,
I agree.
Finally, like, I've done so much work to love and honor myself that I'm actually bringing in and attracting somebody who honors that in himself and me. And that doesn't mean it's not perfect. We've been married almost 5 years. It's not perfect, but, and it's like a relationship that's, it's a partnership and it's kind and it's loving. And
and you can just express yourself fully.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We had a tough conversation last night and I was like, conversation's not my favorite. Loving and there's respect. It's a gift. It's a gift. So the thing is, that's why I wrote this book. That's why I do this work, because when you change your inside, you know, and you forgive, I had to do that forgiveness work. I had to, you know, learn to forgive my dad. I'm still working on forgiving my ex-husband. I'm pretty close to it because, you know, look, judging keeps me in suffering. So I don't really want to suffer anymore. I've done enough of that. And I don't use food today. So
this is such an enlightening conversation, because the same as you were describing your list, the first value for me was kindness. And I was looking for somebody or wanting to bring somebody in. And the first value on his list, on my guy's list, was also kindness. And it was just like you say, we just got ourselves ready. Oh, well, I got myself ready, you know, doing all that work before. It was, I don't want to be with that negative energy, right? And then switch it around to the positive energy. And then it just, but of course, the work that we did on each other, on ourselves, brought us together. And now you're living, you know, a delightful life, of course. And when you say it's not perfect, it's just like, but it's, you're able to communicate. He respects you. He honors you. It's the end, not the but. So if somebody is, if you're allowed to express yourself, that's the most important thing. You don't have to hide anymore who you are.
Absolutely. People have told me, they're like, you actually look younger now than you did in your 20s. It's that energy and it's that self-expression. And when you're self-expressed, when you feel free, when you feel that energy of congruency, your body responds. I mean, I feel better, more congruent, more energetic today, you know, almost 20 years later than I did in my 20s. I'm in my mid 40s. So, I mean, that's pretty, it's amazing. And I can feel that in myself. So there's so many benefits to really doing this work.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So how can our dear listener find out more about you and your youest you?
I know, you gotta love it. That was what I uncovered, was my meest me, the youest you.
Yeah, I get it, girl. I get it.
It's like, who knew she wanted to run a business? Like, who knew she wanted to start a podcast? It's so funny. I'm like, all right, girl, there's a lot you like to do, you know, and just going with it. The best way, I mean, I have a website, which is just my name, julieriesler.com. I also have a lot of free meditations and just all on self-love and confidence and kindness and all of that range of topics on Insight Timer, which is a wonderful meditation app. And if you plug in my name, you can find me on Facebook, on Instagram. If you plug in my name, I also have the USDU podcast and Facebook community. I've started a community to help others. It's called the School of Sacredology, and it's to help people to understand how to live a life that goes from being scared to that's all sacred. So that's new. And I'm really excited because I'm going to be teaching, guiding around everything that has helped to change me.
Oh, I love that. And just for the listener who may not know how to spell your last name, just spell it so make sure they get the right website.
Yes, it's Julie, J-U-L-I-E, and then it's R-E-I, like the store, R-E-I-S-L-E-R. So julieriesler.com.
Perfect, perfect. I want to ask you, we were talking a little bit before about love is kind, and I was saying that real love is kind, not terrorizing. It's not hurtful or harmful. It's uplifting and caring. What does love is kind mean to you, Julie?
Love is kind to me. That's a great question. I actually think it's our inherent birthright. I think it's how we're designed. I think when you learn to tune into your heart energy and worthiness, what oozes out is kindness, is compassion, is love. Mm-hmm. What happens when we get hurt or someone gets hurt is hurting people hurt others. So to me, it's a call, it's a cry for help, or someone's hurt. So to me, like that's the natural byproduct of tuning into your higher self, your heart, and to what love really is.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time here, for your wisdom, for being vulnerable and helping others become valuable.
Thank you so much. This was like, it was just such a gift for me. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.